And so it begins. The Industrial Relations Minister, Bill Shorten, has finally announced his review of the Fair Work Act after what can fairly be described as a turbulent few months of grounded airline fleets and employee lockouts. In some ways, it's an old story. Unions blame employers for extreme action. Employers say unions are forcing their hand with unreasonable industrial action. What was Bill Shorten's response? A public statement that the Fair Work Act is working well, thank you very much, and a review that doesn't consider whether the objectives of the legislation are right and doesn't look at the central issue of productivity. You'd think there was a lot to talk about, but you couldn't tell that by monitoring Parliament. Aside from some broad criticisms, the opposition doesn't have a lot to say about this issue at the moment, so what needs to be done? And what do we make of the lack of alternatives being presented by the major parties just now? Joining me is the opposition's industrial relations spokesperson, Erica Betts. Erica Betts, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be on the program.
You've criticised this review for failing to address productivity and flexibility. If I could just focus on the latter for the moment, what exactly do you mean by flexibility?
The Fair Work Act has, as part of its regime, an individual flexibility agreement regime. That regime is not working. It's not providing flexibility for workers or for business. The former minister finally acknowledged that that regime was not working at the last Senate estimates. And just as one example, if you enter an individual flexibility agreement, it can be cancelled by either side with a giving of 28 days' notice. Now, the example that was given by Labor, by Ms Gillard, in her explanatory memorandum, was somebody who might want to knock off work early to coach a school soccer team after school and therefore start work early. Mm. Now, for somebody like him, he would want a guarantee of 6 months so that he could coach the team through the full soccer season. The boss could cancel that arrangement with 28 days' notice. Clearly unsatisfactory. Therefore, he was unable to make a commitment to the soccer team for 6 months.
It's good of you to pick an example where the flexibility would work in favour of the employee, but I think it's fair to say that flexibility doesn't always work that way. And I'm wondering what flexibility exactly is code for, because specifically whether or not it's code for stripping away collective bargaining.
The example I was using was, in fact, Ms. Gillard's exact example in the explanatory memorandum.
Sure, but you've chosen to cite it. I'm asking about the other side of the equation, though.
Well, the other side of the equation is that there is none, in as much as individual flexibility agreements have to be subject to the better off overall test. So the worker has to be deemed to be better off overall. And Ms. Gillard accepted that somebody that might want to start work early in penalty time period, but not take penalty rates because he wants to knock off early to coach a soccer team. Now, that was her example. That's the example I'm using, and it's clearly not working. And I think Labor itself was starting to shift to that recognition. And at the end of the day, if the worker is better off overall, I can't see where the criticism can be.
So is that where you would go? Would you try to introduce flexibility with some kind of safety to make sure the worker cannot be worse off?
Well, the safety is already there with a better off overall test.
And you're happy with that?
Yes, we are. And if you recall the previous regime under the Howard government, we called it the no disadvantage test.
Eventually, yes.
With work choices, we overstepped the mark and removed the no disadvantage test. We've accepted the verdict of the Australian people. We accept that went too far. And whether you call it no disadvantage, better off overall, it's the same sort of test which protects workers. And that's the sort of flexibility, if I might say, that a modern economy needs. In recent times was rated by the World Economic Forum in relation to flexibility, and we came out at 110 out of 142 nations. We are clearly lagging in that area, everybody's saying so.
Sure.
Other than
I've heard your point on that. Just since you raised work choices, this might be a simple yes-no question, but do you believe work choices as an industrial relations regime was superior to the one we've got now?
No, I don't. And when I talk of work choices, let's specify what we mean. It related to the suggestion that small business was up to 100 full-time equivalent and the removal of the no disadvantage test. Now, we don't believe that that was the right thing to do. We accept the verdict of the Australian people in that regard. But many aspects of the previous regime has been adopted by Labor in their Fair Work Act. So a lot of the reforms of the Howard government have been kept, but might I say in other areas, especially when it comes to the power of trade union bosses, the Fair Work Act has now, given we've had certain decisions as to what the Act actually means,
okay,
it has rolled back the clock way beyond Howard reforms, the Reith reforms, to even before the Hawke and Keating reforms.
Okay, and I'll be speaking to Peter Reith in a moment. We might touch on that. I mentioned that the objectives of the Act are not under review in the parameters that Bill Shorten outlined yesterday. Do you have a problem with the objectives of the Fair Work Act?
Well, the objectives tell us that fairness and productivity go together hand in glove, yet you have a look at the specific terms of reference. There is mention made of fairness, no mention made of productivity. And unless the government comes to the realisation that productivity is what actually provides job security, that it's productivity which provides the ongoing economic wealth and economic stability of Australia, until the government realises that, the government will be falling short, and of course the review will be falling short.
What about the objective outlined in Section 3C of the Act, that statutory individual employment agreements can never be part of a fair workplace relations system? Do you have a problem with that objective?
Well, we have ruled out individual contracts. The leader has done that, and so that is not up for review as far as the coalition is concerned.
Okay.
But we believe that we can have productive and flexible workplace arrangements, but neither of those fundamental ingredients are contained in the terms of reference, and that is where we believe it falls short of what the Australian people rightly anticipated.
I'm going to leave it there, Eric Abetz. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.